What's up? Welcome to the Blues Library Podcast. I'm Ashley, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Lexi.
Hi.
And this week we are talking about a semi-continuation of the From Blood and Ash series.
This is the order that JLA recommends reading it in. So, Ashley, you didn't update the title and the trigger warnings.
I updated triggers. I forgot to update the title.
All right. So the book we're going to be talking about today is A Shadow in the Ember by Jennifer L. Armentrout. Spoiler warning, we have not read The War of Two Queens. So basically, up until this book, we've read, so we'll probably spoil, deal with it, or go to a different episode. All right, so from Trigger Warnings Database, there's forced sex work mentioned, sexual harassment, child abuse, arranged marriage, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, suicide, off page, suicidal ideation, self-mutilation, death of a parent in childbirth, blood and gore, decapitation, dead bodies. Why is there two decapitations in here?
I don't know.
Amputation, death of a father from suicide, off page, graphic murder and attempted murder, torture including restricted access to food, whipping, imprisonment, war themes, and battle scenes, animal abuse, and again, because apparently it wants to say it multiple times, decapitation.
There's some decapitation that happens,
if
guys.
If you couldn't tell.
God. Okay. Let's do this synopsis. Guys, it's not going to be a short one. So, sorry. So we start with Serafina. We are going to call her Sarah from here on out because that's what she's called. She has been raised her whole life to be the consort for the Primal of Death. And in doing so, like, ever since she was born, there was a rot that started. So basically, the history behind this, right, is that long, long time ago, her kingdom that she lives in now, when it was ruled by, like, her great-great-great-grandfather or something, was really barren, and they didn't have, like, anything to survive. And so he made a deal with the consort of death that they would, like, give them so much, so much fertility of the lands and things like that in exchange for the firstborn daughter being the consort of death, right? So it takes, like, 200 years. But finally, Sarah is born, and she is the firstborn daughter in this line since that's happened. So she's the one that, like, has to be this consort of death. But as soon as she's born, there's, like, a rot that starts to infest everything and make it so that people are dying. There's not enough food, blah, blah, blah. So, because of this, they think that the only way to fix this is to kill the consort of death because he's the one that's, like, making it this way, right? And so she's been raised her whole life to be his consort and seduce him, make him fall in love because that's the only weakness of a primal, and then kill him. So she shows up, she's presented to him, and he says, "Nah, bitch," and leaves. And then we time skip for 3 years. Sarah is now 20. Yeah, good shit. She is what's called a handmaiden to the queen, who is her mom. And she has some really shitty step-siblings. Well, one really shitty step-sibling. The other's pretty chill. And basically, all day, she just trains. And then every year, on her birthday, she gets presented to the Primal of Death again. And he never shows up again.
That's so embarrassing.
So, yeah. It's like being set up for a date, but worse.
Pretty much.
The kingdom is dying. Obviously, we talked about the rot. So there's an emissary from another kingdom that they asked for help, and the emissary came to like respond or whatever, and he basically says, fuck you, we're not helping you, and is super disrespectful about it. So the queen is like, handmaiden, go after him, and you know what to do. And so she goes after him, kills him, and she doesn't like killing people, but she does it because she feels like that's the only worth she has anymore. Dude, I cried during this book. We'll get to that part, don't you worry. So Sarah kills him. She's going to like a whorehouse basically to like fuck because she doesn't know what else to do with the night. And on the way there, she sees three gods. So two gods and a goddess. Well, she sees a god and a goddess, my bad. Kill a man. And then the god was inside. So he comes outside holding a baby upside down and throws it at the man they just killed, and she gets pissed and she starts to like go out, but somebody grabs her from behind, and she's like, what the fuck, man, what's going on? And they have like this little like conversation, and he was like, bitch, you are about to kill it yourself, killed, like, fuck is your problem? And anyway, she sees his eyes at one point, and he can see like the ether in them, so like the magic in them, so he's like, fuck, he's a god too.
I mean, and
yeah. They try to figure out why the gods just did that to the baby, the man, whatever. And before they can kind of like figure it out, because they're arguing, because that's what people do in these these JLA books. Anyway, the gods start like coming down the tunnel or whatever, and in order to be like not sus, they like kind of go back like and hide in like a corner, but he's like pressed all up against her. They end up making out. He uses his magic to make them invisible. The gods walk by and they're like, bet, let's leave, like go back. He's like, go home. She's like, I bet. Bitch doesn't go home. She goes back into the house like to see what the fuck
the
just happened.
That he actually, what was going on, to go home and listen.
I know, it makes me laugh. So they explore the house, they talk, and we find out why he cares that humans are being murdered is because his friend was killed by these gods, and he wants to know what's going on because there's no apparent connection between any of them. So we don't find anything at the house that's like hella important. Then we kind of get some info about Sarah and Tavius's relationship. Tavius is her stepbrother, and he is a motherfucking cunt.
The entire time, like, I wanted him to just die.
Me fucking too, in the worst way. Like, I was like, I hope that they put rats in like a bowl, put the bowl upside down on your stomach and start heating up one side so that they burrow into your skin while you're still alive to get away from the fire, and you have to live through that shit.
All right.
Anyway.
No one piss Ashley off, please. Fuck.
So.
It's a little aggressive.
Have you heard about the bamboo growing underneath your fingernails?
Mm.
Oh, yeah, bro. That's another torture technique. Like, they can, make bamboo grow through you, like, keep you, like, stuck there, basically. And the bamboo, like, grows up, and because it's so strong, it will, like, go through your body to, like, continue growing. But it can also, like, make it grow, or, like, shove it under your fingernails. Super gross.
I think I'm gonna skip visiting you.
Rude!
You're scaring me.
Anyway, watch some Mythbusters, okay? Also, Tavius has a fiance. Tavius is also like the crown prince, so like he gets away with a lot of shit. He had a fiance, and he's like hella abusive and like a really bad dude. So Sarah like helped her make herself sick, basically, so that she had to leave. Also, we meet Odetta, which is basically like her only nurse, because while Sarah is technically like the oldest and in line for the throne, because she was going to be the consort, like they kind of kept her a secret and nobody knew about her. So she had like no royal upbringing or anything like that, despite being the princess. Anyway, Odetta is dying and it's really sad.
Very sad.
Moving on. Yes. She goes to see the only painting of her father in the entire castle. It's in the closet of the queen slash her mom. And when she goes in there, she's looking at him and the queen comes in and she has a, like a seamstress person with her and one of the gods that was there killing humans, like killing the people that night.
Oh, that's right.
And she recognizes them. They get into like a little argument, whatever. And like her and her mom get in an argument and she dips. So Sarah's wandering around and she feels a death happen. And she goes and she finds the hairdresser that was there that morning with her mom in the closet. But she's dead. The man that pulled her into the shadows before, he still doesn't have a name, okay? He is there. And they, like, kind of banter while they, like, search the house. They go back and they start arguing, like, in the living room where the dead body is. And the dead body, like, comes back to life, but, like, grossly and tries to kill them. And she has four fangs, not two. This is bad news bears, obviously. At this point, he's also calling her Lisa.
Liesa.
Or Lissa. Liesa.
Liesa, or something like that.
He's calling her Liesa. We're going to go with that.
Do you not remember from the book where the Wolven, or from the last book where the Wolven are calling her?
Yeah, I like highlighted it, but I forgot how I pronounced it then. So we're going a whole new direction today.
Right.
Also, at one point, she stabs him with her, what is it called? Like obsidian blade, basically, that like is the only thing that can kill gods.
Basically. And wink, wink. Sarah is just as stabby as Poppy. Wink, wink.
I feel like you're trying to make that dirty. Is that what's happening with this wink, wink?
There's going...
The connection?
Yeah, nobody knows yet.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Well, you might, if you anyway. Read it, you know. But we're not there
because
yet.
Because he stabbed her in time, we are not there yet. we have already read that. Check out the later, earlier episodes. After she stabs him, he, like, destroys her blade, which is dope. Next, Ezra, who is her stepsister, asks for Sarah to help get a little boy who is stuck with his dad. His dad's name is Norbert, and he runs basically a whorehouse. And his sister, the little boy's sister, so Norbert's daughter, got out, but they weren't able to get the boy out. So Sarah is going to go get him out. She pretends to be like a lady of the night and like want to be hired there, and kills the dude, grabs the little boy, and they go back. Sarah, again, she doesn't like killing. She does it because she has to. So she decides to go to her lake.
Reason, because let's be completely honest, this was a very good reason to kill. She didn't necessarily Absolutely. Have to kill him, but it was a very good reason to.
Good distinction. I like it. So she decides to go to her lake. And she's the only one that's ever there. And while she's there, or on her way there, she finds like a wolf that is being hunted. And it's hurt. She heals it. And it like, well, it gets shot. It's dying. She saves it. It licks her hand and then walks off.
Because that was necessary to put in here.
Okay, listen. I don't even think I put it in the discussion. But yes, I felt it was important. So
he licks her hand like a dog and then limps away.
No, he's totally fine. He runs off.
Okay, well, he licked her hand like a little puppy dog and then ran off.
Like a little wolf.
Ran off with zoomies. We're going to go back because I love that image in my head.
Okay. So she gets to the lake. She strips. She gets in the water. She realizes that she is not alone. And Nykthos comes. I mean,
Ashley!
And the man that is still unnamed up to this point comes out from behind the waterfall and is like, hey, sexy mama, what's your number? What's your sign? Like, what is up, my baby? And they are attacked. They are attacked by worms. But like, there's like subclasses of worms that are like, these ones are like hunters, right? So they have been sent after something, and whatever it is at the lake at that moment. And no spoilers at this point in time, right now, from what I'm saying. Basically, the worms, like when they open their mouths, snakes come out of them, and she fucking hates snakes. So she passes out and hits her head on a rock, and she wakes up. almost did it again. The stranger, the man, is like, he put her head on his lap and is like, I hope you feel better. They make out. We get a nice little finger bang sesh. And then he also, like, she's like, I don't even know your name. And he goes, some call me Ash. And so that's what she calls him.
Note, some call me Ash.
That was a direct quote.
I know.
Some call me Ash.
I'm just saying, note, everybody, pay attention if you've not read this and you're deciding to let us ruin this series for you. Some.
The rest of the book. Okay. So, cut to the next day. Last night, there was a rebellion, basically, an uprising against the crown because they're not doing anything to help the rot and they're having, like, a big old fucking party, right? Sarah is like, oh, that's so unfortunate. And she goes down to the kitchen and she takes, like, all of the extra food and she goes to give it to the families that are no longer able to produce any, like, harvest for their families to live on.
Because she's a good fucking person.
She is. She finds the bodies of the Cooper family. And this family had like two little boys and a mom and a dad, or a little boy, a little girl, mom and dad. And their farm was not producing anything and they felt it was a better option to poison themselves and die before they died of starvation.
It's so sad.
And this really gets to Sarah. She goes back to the castle and talks to the king / her stepdad. Before this, like, she marches in and she's like, what the fuck are we doing? And Tavius is there because of fucking course Tavius is there. Tavius is a total dick. Sarah calls him on it and is like, why don't you care? These are your people. You're going to be king. And he's like, well, I'm in charge. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Basically, he doesn't care and, because he has everything he needs to survive. So he doesn't give a fuck if anybody else does.
Which is pussy on tap. Okay. Anyway, stepdad kicks him out. He throws a bowl at Sarah hard enough to bruise her arm. And her and her stepdad kind of come to like a mutual decision that they just kind of have to wait it out because something's going to happen to fix it. On her way back to her rooms, she's attacked by guards. And they said that there's like a bounty on her. They don't know what it is. Or she doesn't know what it is. But she ends up killing the guards. And then her mom walks in. And she was like, well, I was attacked first. And there was like a witness there. So it's all chill. Then Ash gives her another blade to replace the one that he broke. And it's given to her via, like, it was given to Ector to give to Via.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Okay.
Via.
Oh my god, so today, sorry, pause. So today I took a dialect test to see, like, where my dialect is from. And it's so fucked up that it couldn't even guess. Like, it was like, we had an error. I was like, cool. Anyway, Hector is the one that gave it to her. It's like the name Hector in Spanish because H's are silent. But, like, I guess we didn't want to do that here. So his name is I called him Hector because, like, that's his name's Spanish accent. Okay. We also hear the story of Satoria. And this story is she was picking flowers. A god saw her, fell in love with her immediately, scared her. She fell to her death. And then he brought her, or she was brought back to life because the god was really upset. And nobody knows how she died, but she died again because she was just so unhappy. They don't know how long she lived or how she died after, but she died again. So that's her story. The rite happens, capital R, rite, with a T, not an R-I-G-H-T, rite. Sarah decides to go for the first time ever in her life, and a little boy is up there being presented for the rite, and the primal of life and light shows up and says something to the, what is it called when you're going into the rite? The person that's being given to the rite.
I was like, I have no fucking clue. I can't remember.
I don't know. But the person is, he says something to him, the guy responds back, and then the primal of light or of life says, you are worthy. He turns around and he looks toward the, like, what's it called? Like the little room that you sit in off to the side. Yep. The alcove. He looks towards the alcove that Sarah is in. She's far enough back that, like, they can't be seen, but he looks towards her. And she feels like he's staring at her. Later, Ezra's girlfriend, Mary, was hurt and she died. Sarah brings her back to life. Moving on. The king dies overnight. So Tavius is in charge.
Oh, God.
And he, like, goads Sarah into saying, like, something that's considered treasonous, right? So he grabs the guards, or gets the guards to take her. And they go in... Me too. And drags her out to the statue of the primal of life and basically, like, hooks her up to it so that she can't move and starts whipping her. But he's a pansy ass fucker because he doesn't even break skin. Okay. Like, nothing. And all of a sudden, boom, shadows are coming in. It's like looking like the Death Eaters be showing up, and the primal of death is there. And oh my god, would you look at that? The primal of death, Nyctos, is actually Ash. So they're the same person. Let's see. So he gets hella pissed because he's like, fuck you doing to Sarah. He grabs the whip from Tavius, wraps it around his throat and starts choking him. The mom, like the queen, is like, no, he's my son. Please don't. He needs to lead our kingdom. And he says, man, fuck you. And then he only stops when Sarah says, stop.
Aww,
and
he
says, okay, for you, I will. And stops. Sarah grabs a sword, starts going at his ass, ends up stabbing him through the chest and into the primal of life statue.
Are we talking about she stabbed Ash and, or Tavius?
No, she stabbed Tavius.
Because even in though the chest, I know it was not very clear.
Too many hims, yeah. Hers. No, not enough exactly. Names. Sarah stabs Tavius right in the chest, like basically leaving his body hanging on a sword through him and the primal of life statue. Did that make sense? It made sense in my brain. She also takes the handle of the whip, opens Tavius's mouth, and shoves the handle of the whip in his mouth, which is like low-key gross. next. Because Sarah just killed the new king, in order to save her from, like, any sort of judicious process, Nyctos has to call in on his bargain to take Sarah as the consort. So they travel to the Shadowlands. I'm going to skip through this part. It goes really fast, but there's a lot of shit that happens that I decided wasn't important. So we meet the Draken, who are Nectus. Reaver is like a little 10-year-old little boy, and Jadis is like 6 years
and
old
if
or
you
something
guys
like that.
But if you
really
remember
cute.
In the last book that we just read, where Nyctos made Poppy promise to help bring Jadis back.
Yes.
So this is that cute, adorable little draken that ends up being gone.
You called it a draken? I call it a draken. Like from Kim Possible?
Yeah, okay, except who listened to the audiobooks for the rest of the series?
But not this one.
It's... Okay, I can't with you.
Oh, wait, because in the other series, they show up, so it said it.
Yeah!
I get it. Okay. Moving on. So, they have a discussion about the past, wherein we find out... Hold on. I think I noted this somewhere else. Ash can taste emotions, and Ash's dad is actually the one that made the original deal for the first daughter to be the consort. It wasn't actually Ash. Also, he wants her to keep calling him Ash. Noted.
Noted.
Also, we find out that primals need blood, and Ash doesn't like to take blood, so he doesn't. He also knew that she was in danger in the mortal realm because while they were making out, I think her lip got cut or something, and he, like, swallowed some of her blood. And because of that, he can feel, like, when she's in mortal danger. Or she's, like, feeling really strong emotions.
Oh my god, it's almost like Wrath and Amelia! Just with the mark instead of, like, the blood thing.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't remember any blood play in that book. So, she is not allowed to leave her rooms. She's not so happy with this. But in order for her to be allowed to, they strike a deal that basically says she can do whatever she wants as long as she follows his rules, which are basically, if I tell you to leave, like, if I tell you to go back to your rooms, you have to do it immediately, because that means that one of our enemies is coming and you need to be safe until your coronation.
Ashley's eyes are so intense as she's saying this.
Shut up, okay? So... One time, at court, there's this guy. His name is Hamid. He comes in and he says, yo, my girl Gemma, she's been gone for a couple of days. Something's wrong. They send a couple of the gods, because of course everybody's a god in the fucking Shadowlands. They're either a god, a godling, or they're Nyctos. So, there's that. They send a bunch of gods to go figure out what happened. Right after this, they get a notification that there is somebody coming. And Nyctos looks at Sarah and says, go back to your rooms. She is taken back to her rooms. And she basically, like, walks in the room, turns around, and walks right back out of it. And goes downstairs to figure out what the fuck's going
on. Where are you at?
And you keep checking things that do not need checked. She hears him talking to Vesis, and Vesis is like a goddess type person, right? She gets jealous. She goes into this like blood forest, and there's a hawk there that's injured. She heals the little hawk, but she gets attacked by worms again. And also, as soon as she killed, like, while she was with, like, the worms or whatever, she got scratched by one. But she was like, man, fuck you. Also, after this, bam, double whammy. There's skeletons popping out the ground that are trying to kill her. So, all of a sudden, Ash comes in, saves the day. It seems to be the theme in this book.
Seems to be the, like, thing of, like, Sarah all fucks everything. Because Poppy will fuck up, Cass comes and saves her.
You right. Okay, so look, turns out when she was cut by the worm's nails, it has some sort of disease. She almost dies, but Ash saves her. Nyctos is there in human form, so they actually have a conversation, and basically he's like, yo, you chill him out, I choose you. And Nyctos leaves, Ash comes back in, we get a finger bang situation, and then we also learn that Ash is a virgin. Prush. We get some draken sitting, which is like babysitting, but like not. And She gets measured for clothes. She can't sleep. She goes out onto the balcony. Ash is there. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And after their, like, wham, bam session, she's Draken sitting. She's Draken sitting again.
You already said that part, bitch. And
I said, again! And all of a sudden, there's, like, some loud noise at the gates. Gemma has come back, but she's, like, on the edge of life. And Poppy, wow. Sarah is... Sarah revives her. She dies. Sarah revives her. And then we find out that she has what's called the Ember of Life. And we basically get this story that right before Ash's dad died, he took the Ember of Life out of himself and gave it to be in the first daughter of that line or whatever. So it's in Sarah. And that's why she can heal things. Also, we get, like, the whole backstory about how, like, Colas, he is the primal of life right now, and Nykthos is the primal of death. Nykthos's dad was actually the original primal of life, but they're twins, right? So Colas and Nykthos's dad are twins, and Colas fell in love with, what's her name? Sororia? Anyway, falls in love. She gets scared, falls off a cliff and dies. Oh, right. He's really upset, wants her back, brings her back to life. She's really upset. The only way that he can bring her back to life is if he had some sort of life power that his twin brother has. So there's, like, some switcheroo shit that happens. And, yeah, so now Colas is the primal of life, but he doesn't actually have any life powers, so everything is dying. Anyway, that's that. Also, at this point, we also learn that everybody learns that the reason that Sarah knows how to fight and everything is because her original intention was not to come just to marry and make him happy. Her intention was to make him fall in love so she could kill him. Obviously, everyone's really upset. This is the part where I, like, cried. It was a little bit later. It literally says I cried. And, there's an attack because of the magic that Sarah just used. It basically called everybody to them because now Colas knows where the Ember of Life is and he wants it. So they can't leave Sarah, so she helps during the battle. Everyone's really shitty to her about helping and how she feels because he can feel her emotion, like, because Nykthos can feel her emotions. Also, we go back to calling him Nykthos right now because, like, he's grumpy. And it's what he is. Nykthos is hurt during the battle. Obviously, we win. Nykthos is hurt. He's not healing. And the only way to get him to heal is for him to drink blood. But he doesn't like to drink blood. So Sarah goes to him and is like, drink from me, daddy. And he's like, the only way I'm drinking from you is if we fuck at the same time. So they fuck and he drinks from her. It's hot. He's still really mad. He's kind of a dick. I cried. She takes a bath. And there's a strangling attempt. She kills the person. Well, she doesn't kill the person. Ector kills the person before they can figure out what the dealio was. And, it's the guy that told them, Hamid. It's Hamid, the guy who told them that Gemma was missing in the first place. And he was there visiting her the day before. So, also, Nykthos is warm for the very first time. So before this, it was very, like, vampire Twilight situation where he was cold. Now he's warm and they're like, what the fuck? Also, she has a headache. They give her, like, a special tea and we find out she's going through the culling. It's the same tea that Sir Holland, who was her trainer, gave her in the Mortal Lands, and nobody else is supposed to know it, and they wouldn't know it unless they'd, like, had gone through the culling. So she's going through that. We find out that Gemma had told Hamid that Sarah saved her and brought her back to life. And because Gemma came from Colas's court, or Colas's kingdom thingy, she knows that he is looking for the Ember of Life because he has these things called revenants. And he needs the Ember of Life to make them as horrible and deadly as possible.
Hold on! Does anybody
buddy.
Like, seriously, remember how we needed that little bit of information?
I know, right? Okay, so.
And you were trying to tell me, no, let's just read The War of Two Queens next.
I know.
And I was like, no, bitch, you need to read this.
So, the gods, we're going full circle for a minute. The gods that were killing people at the very, very, very beginning of the book, right, that killed the two people, the little baby and the daddy-o, well, the uncle, and that killed them, well, they're back, and they need Sarah to come with them. So, these two gods that were protecting her, goddesses that were protecting her, get mortally injured. It's really sad. Nyctos saves the day. That's the important part. Sarah brings Belle, who was one of the goddesses that was severely injured, back to life, but she's different. And they call her Ascended, capital A. Turns out that Sir Holland, he shows up out of nowhere. And his name is actually just Holland, so cool. He's actually a spirit of fate that was watching over Sarah. And that Nyctos' dad took the Ember of Life out of not only himself, but out of Nyctos as well, and put that into Sarah. And also, Penelope had a vision, the same one that Poppy's named after. She had a vision at one point. We'll talk about it in a minute. Sarah's fate has always been to die before she turns 21. But there is one single strand of fate that is undetermined, and that strand is love. And it's the only way that she could potentially live past her next birthday. And bam, we find out she's actually the primal of life. The end. Oh, also, this is really, really bad news because she's going through the culling, but she has a mortal mind and a mortal body. So she won't survive the culling. So she also won't survive being the primal of life. So this is bad news bears.
Except we kind of already know what happens.
Shh. All right. Lexi, what'd you do for your makeup?
Ashley told me to do a smoky eye, so that's what we did.
It looks gorgeous.
Ashley!
I'm like low-key embarrassed about mine. But I tried to recreate Nectus's eyes and dragon face on
my face. It looks really good. And my eyes.
So he has red eyes in this book. He has blue eyes in another one. But yeah, it took forever. There was a lot of black on my face. So, because he's a black dragon. And yeah.
It looked really good. Here we are.
Thanks. I tried really hard.
Okay. So, discussion questions. Why do you think JLA wants this book read before The War of Two Queens?
I mean, we already kind of touched the Revenant thing, right? Also, I think, like, it brings a, like, it also brings a little bit more light onto what the dragons can do and how they might impact, like, the War of Two Queens, basically. What do you think?
Same thing, plus, you know, just being able to know the consort and everything.
Is okay, this is a question that I had. So, his name is Ash, and the, like, whole, like, battle cry or whatever is, like, from blood and ash, we will rise. So, does that have to do with something, or, like, did she pick Ash for a different reason?
I mean, he kind of turns people, like, doesn't he just make them go away or whatever? Like, basically turn into ash with his magic?
Ooh, so I think you're right.
My guess would be that's why he's called Ash.
Okay, I'm down for that. I'm okay with that
answer. That's just what I thought.
Also, guys, Lexi and I were talking about this right before we got on. We didn't know that.
Ashley.
I didn't know. I didn't know that poppies are poisonous. And it just kind of made me giggle a little bit that her name is Poppy. And, like, she is the poison that is the downfall of the Ascended.
She also is just poison because she kills everybody. She just likes to go around stabbing. Can we also talk about, the like, how both Sarah and Poppy are super stabby people?
I know, right? I love it all. Okay. So, next. Do you want to say it? So we kind of touched that she had Penelope had a vision. So this is
what her vision. Or what Penelope saw. People ruling in the mortal realm that didn't appear mortal. Places that don't exist yet. Cities forever laid to waste. Great kingdoms shattered and rebuilt. And terrible wars between kings and between queens. A forest made of trees the color of blood in the mortal realm. Full of death. Stepped in the sins and secrets steeped. That's my bad. I was reading it really fast. Steeped in the sins and secrets of hundreds and hundreds of years. But I also saw her. I saw them. A chosen and a descendant of the first. A queen of flesh and fire. And him. A king risen from blood and ash. Who ruled side by side with man. And they felt right. They felt like hope.
I got chills right now. Just like you reading that gave me chills. I'm fucking lame, but oh my god, so good. Like, can we just, like, oh my god, the fucking beautiful connections that were made right there. Also, your voice, you should be like an audiobook narrator because that was beautiful. Yeah, bro, I just got chills. Like, holy shit. Okay. So, after this, we also get a prophecy, and this is what the prophecy says. From the desperation of golden crowns and born of mortal flesh, a great primal power rises as the heir to the lands and seas, to the skies and all realms. A shadow in the ember, a light in the flame, to become a fire in the flesh. When the stars fall from the night, the great mountains crumble into the seas, and old bones raise their swords besides the gods. God. And old bones raise their swords beside the gods. The false one will be stripped from glory until two born of the same misdeeds, born of the same great and primal power in the mortal realm. A first daughter with blood full of fire, fated for the once promised king, and the second daughter, a beautiful with blood full of ash and ice, the other half of the future king. Together they will remake the realms as they usher in the end.
Ooh. I'm sorry, I had to okay, mute that when you were let's struggling. Talk about I had this. To mute it so I could laugh.
I know. I had to not look at you because I was like, oh my god. Okay, no, let's dissect.
First
let's
all, go into you, English class. Did you catch class. The second book name in there?
A Light in the Flame? Yeah. Beautiful. Hold on, uncheck this.
For fuck's sake.
We're dissecting. Okay. So, a great primal power rises as the heir to the lands and seas, to the skies and all realms, from the desperation of golden crowns and born of mortal flesh. Is this referring to Sarah or Poppy? That's what we're going to play with these. Sarah or Poppy?
Poppy.
Well, I think the born of mortal flesh, right? That has to be Poppy. So, yeah, I think you're right. A shadow in the ember, a light in the flame, to become a fire in the flesh. So, yeah, I think that's Sarah, right? There's some stuff about war and weather that I don't care about. The false one will be stripped from glory until two born of the same misdeeds, born of the same great and primal power in the portal in the mortal realm. So the false one, that's got to be Collis.
But what if it's the
what if it's Isbeth
and what's her name?
Jalara?
No, not Jalara. Maybe, I don't know.
Ileana? That's the same person.
No, Castile's mom. Like the
Eloana.
The fake queen and the blood queen, whatever, I can't remember their name. Blood queen and whoever, I don't remember which is which. Maybe, I don't know.
Will be stripped from glory until two born of the same misdeeds, born of the same great and primal power in the mortal realm. So I think it's Collis who is stripped from glory, so they defeat him in this series. Until two born of the same misdeeds, born of the same great and primal power in the mortal realm. So I think that's got to be Poppy
and
someone else. But I don't know who that two is.
That would have maybe Poppy and Sarah. Maybe it's not talking about at the same time. It's just talking about they're both born with this great power.
But, like, how is he stripped until both of them, if they're not at the same time?
I don't know.
Anyway, a first daughter with blood full of fire fated for the once promised king. That's got to be Sarah. And the once promised king is Nyctos.
No, Nyctos' dad.
And the second daughter.
Originally, the deal was made with Nyctos' dad.
Fated for the once promised king.
Because
I could see that. And the second daughter with blood full of ash and ice, the other half of the future king. So that's Poppy for sure. Future king, Cass. Together they will remake the realms as they usher in the end.
That actually makes sense though, because Nyctos and Sarah and then Cass and Poppy. So one in the Shadowlands and one in the...
In the mortal realms. Like one in Elysium and one in...
Yeah, so then together they're going to basically change the fucking world.
Oh, yes. I'm for it. All right.
I don't think we got any of that right. Think we got any of that right. But it was fun.
I know, but it's fun.
All right. Overall thoughts on the book.
I loved it. I thought it was fabulous.
I told you.
It was so fucking good. Let me look and see what I gave it.
Do you remember?
I gave it a 5. I gave it a 5 out of 5.
Do you remember when I told you, though, when I first read this, and I said, I fucking love Nyctos almost more than I love Cass?
Like, I can see that, for sure. Like, holy fuck.
And you were so baffled that I was like, I fucking love Nyctos. And I'm like, and now you're like, now you get it.
Well, and I almost feel like this book was written a lot more carefully more thought out than like Crown of Gilded Bones almost. Does that make sense? Like it felt more cohesive and purposeful. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That was like something that I really enjoyed and it made it a lot easier for me to read.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my God, what's the tea? All right. Lexi, what have you been reading and watching this week?
We've been watching Ridiculousness, like always.
We will not open or
beat them. Then I read Tough Shit, Cocky Fuck, and Barbie Bitch, which is 1, 2, and 3 in the Rejects Paradise series by Sheridan Ann. I'm not sure if I'm going to finish and read book 4. Basically, let me just give you a quick thing. Ashley, now...
I let her down.
Now, Ashley, you're going to close your eyes, even though you already went through this earlier with me.
Oh, God.
I'll just tell them. So I basically told Ashley on the phone today. I said, okay, just imagine you think you're the best dodgeball player in the world, okay? You get out there onto the court, whatever the fuck it's called. I don't know. I'm not a dodgeball player. And you're up against 50 fucking people, right? But you're still like, I got this. I'm going to win. Well, then they bring out these giant heavy metal balls that have really sharp spikes on them. You're like, oh, no, I've got this. I've still got this. They all start throwing the balls at you at the same time, and you're looking like a fish out of water. Like, you clearly have no idea what the fuck you're doing. And you get majorly, majorly hurt, okay? That is what reading this book felt like.
This whole series.
It felt like that person that thought that they were the fucking best at dodgeball felt like that was the main character. I was also under the impression it was a Rose Harem, and it's not, and I'm really salty about that, too. Anyway, I also think she ended up with the wrong dude, but I guess he lied to her, so whatever. Anyway, that's how I feel. Come back next week to see if I read book 4.
This week.
this week.
There you go.
I watched House of the Dragon. I'm currently up to date. I'm also currently losing my shit. So, yeah, it's really good. And let's see. I read Shattered Vows by Shane Rose. This one is, I don't really like this one all that much, so that's fine. I don't remember what it's about, so there you go. Then I read Dr. All-Nighter, needed a pregnancy trope romance, so that was it. It's by Adora Crooks, Doctors of Eastport General series. It was good. It was cute. It did what I needed it to do. Wasn't really all that right home worthy. Then I read Craving by Helen Hart, which is book one in the Steel Brothers series. Shit was crazy. Shit was hot as fuck. Very sexy. But, like, also hella sad. Mm-hmm. And, just kind of a lot. So, I have the second book, so I'm gonna read that too. Then I read Reaper's Property by Joanna Wild. It's the Reaper's Motorcycle Club series.
Update, I probably won't read book four. If I leave the series now, it's not happening.
Bro, that is me. Like, I'm like, I just need a quick break from this series.
And then I never go back.
And that is why my Kindle Unlimited library is
pretty
full.
Much.
Like, anyway.
Is it good?
It was really good. It was good.
Oh, I have to buy it. Fuck that. Never mind. I won't.
Yeah, it's $4. I bought it yesterday.
I don't have that
money right now. Wait, what's that? I want to read that.
It's Club Whore by Kim Jones.
Hold on. I got to add that to my
She's
list.
She's so excited.
Really fast. Did you not see her titties? 10 out of 10 would smash. Okay.
She does have really nice titties. I can't
That's what
lie.
I'm saying. Okay. Anyway, those are the books that I read. Also, the Reaper's Motorcycle Club, that one takes place in Idaho.
Really? Okay, sold. I
really?
Where in Idaho?
Coeur d'Alene or something like that?
Coeur d'Alene?
Yeah.
Coeur d'Alene.
That one. That one.
Coeur d'Alene?
Shut up! When I read it, I thought of Aquamarine and, like, the Coeur d'Alene situation.
And so, for everybody who doesn't know, it's pronounced Coeur d'Alene.
Anyway.
Oh my god, that's funny.
Thanks for listening!
Follow us on social media. Our TikTok is blues.library. Our Instagrams are blues.library and blues.library podcast. We are fading out of the podcast one, so if you're going to follow one, only follow the blues.library. Ashley, don't say anything.
And it's Lexi's fault!
It's not updated yet.
It's
my fault, but I'm sure here soon we'll have one that's Ashley's fault again.
But still.
You can hit us up on our website that is blues-library.com. You can find...
There's a dot and a dash. Dash.com.
Yeah.
Get it?
So you can check us out there. We have our most recent episode on there and some of our favorite book looks. We'll probably be doing some things like book reviews.
We should update that.
We will. For sure. Go ahead and rate and review our podcast wherever you're listening, please. It would help us out. It also helps us know where we're doing the best so we can try in our best to move different places to build. We want to build a community full of love and books, okay?
I mean, they go hand
Pretty
in
much.
Hand.
Alrighty, and then next week's book is The War of Two Queens by...
Hey! You have to ask me that!
No, because you had the whole synopsis.
Lexi, what's next week's book?
Next week's book is The War of Two Queens by Jennifer L. Armentrout. It is book four in the Blood and Ash series.
This went off the rails at the end.
Okay, so it is book four in the Blood and Ash series. We are so excited. That one's the last one that, as far as we know. We haven't read The War of Two Queens, so we don't know if it ends there.
Yeah.
We're confused.
I'm finna Google really fast.
I imagine it would be, but...
Book 5, Untitled.
Okay, so it is not, in fact, the last book.
Because I think it's for contract for, like, 6 books.
I wish, okay, she's got a lot to do. All right.
Well, and that was before she started the Flesh and Fire series. Sure. So I don't know how much that one's contracted for. Yeah, I only see 2 book series. But that could just be because she's only announced 2. Because JLA is one of those weird authors that does, like, self-publishing and traditional publishing. Mm-hmm. So it could be that she's self-publishing the Flesh and Fire ones and traditional publishing Blood and Ash. So she doesn't need a contract to self-publish.
That's true. All right, that'll be fun. All right, bitches. Goodbye. Have a good week.
We said it with so much love.
I meant bitches with love. I only call people I like bitches, okay?
Everyone else is the C
word. Pretty much. That's what goes all day today from talking with me on the phone for literally all day.
Yeah, really,
wear
though.
Condoms.
Wear your seatbelts and condoms.
Don't stick random things up your butthole. My doctor friend says that she's kind of traumatized by the amount of people that have come into the ER with things stuck in their asshole.
Or your penis hole, if you have a penis.
I feel like that's something most men don't need to be told.
It's a king. It's a kink. Sounding? Oh, yeah. It's a kink.
That's scary. All right, let's move past that because that freaks me out. Go to school. Do your homework. Take your meds. Don't do illegal substances.
Show up for work on time. Take up your... take your antidepressants, babies. We'll get through this seasonal affective disorder together.
If you need to talk to anybody, Ashley and I are both open, and we both have our own slew of mental health things that we are open to talk. Well, maybe not everything, but we are open to talking with some people very, depending upon the...
Very candidly. Yeah.
So if you need anything, message us.
Also, I'm 24 now, guys. Like, when this comes out, I'm gonna be 24.
Bitch, you are not 24 yet. She is gonna be 24 when this comes out. So happy birthday, Ashley!
Whoop, whoop. All right. Y'all be safe out there.
Love you. Bye!